So the question arises of the possibility that our genetic code is a variable matrix, and that perhaps through the choices we make day in and day out, individually, in the moment by moment experience that we call life, that those choices affect these genetic options. So I began to entertain this possibility. I asked myself the question, if we know this and we are discovering the mastery of this technology, then perhaps ancient traditions knew the same thing. And I went back to the Essenes in the Essene texts, and I'll reference these texts through a series of books called the Essene Gospels of Peace. One of the most telling quotes from the Essenes regarding our power of thought, and I'll invite you just to listen to this, because the Essenes recognize this power as well. They said, "For to no other creature in the kingdom of our earthly mother is given the power of thought. All the beasts that crawl and birds that fly live not of their own thinking, but of a law that governs all life. Only to the sons and daughters of men is given the power of thought, and even that thought can break the bonds of death. Do not think, because it cannot be seen, that thought has no power. For I'll tell you truly, the lightning that cleaves the mighty oak, the quaking that opens up cracks in the earth, these are as the play of children compared to the power of your thought. Mankind has forgotten this power, for man does not see the world of spirit." Well, once again, as we examine the elements of what we're now beginning to call a technology and a science, the ancients remind us that compassion may perhaps be the oldest science that we know, because compassion, what we are going to define as compassion, appears to represent the quality, the optimum quality of thought, feeling, and emotion that turn those codes on and allow us to gracefully move through this waking dream that we call life with grace. And that's the key, to move through life with grace. Witnessed in the ancient traditions, in the texts, the references to compassion. By our own standards today, we can call compassion a science. And people have asked me the question, they say, how can you use the word compassion and science in the same sentence? The science of compassion, how can you do that? In Western traditions today, if we do these things in a repeatable, predictable manner, and we get these results consistently and repeatedly, then it is so, and it is a science. And it is through that line of thinking that I feel very comfortable sharing with you now what today we call the science of compassion. Many of the techniques were lost 1,700 years ago, because now the question arises, how do we embrace this technology in our lives? What does it mean on a daily basis, day in and day out? The Essenes were so clear of this time in history and what this generation would represent. They left texts, entire volumes. They wrote to you. They wrote to the last generation to mature before the shift of the ages, before zero point. And they said that through your lifetime, in the presence of one another, through the experience of day in and day out, day-to-day life, this is where you'll find your greatest strengths. So this is the key, living in the presence of one another. I believe that on levels unspoken, perhaps unconscious, we love so deeply and we so choose to carry ourselves to this greatest expression of human potential, that in the presence of one another, we do this. We trust in those around us, and every once in a while, someone that we trust in or that we believe in will violate that trust, or they'll violate that belief. From the perspective of the Essenes, that's the angel that has just crossed your path to push you into a place that you would never carry yourself, so that you may know yourself, heal yourself in that way, and love like none have ever loved before. And that's a possibility to consider. Because as we're moving down this path toward this convergence point, we're asking collectively to reach in and remember our greatest potential, to turn all those codes on so that we may gracefully move through this transition, kind of like school children. I think all the easy lessons we've done in this accelerated experience that we call life, we are going through many lifetimes in this one lifetime, many partnerships, many relationships, many careers, and each one of them is telling us something about ourselves that we forgot perhaps a long time ago, and allowing us this great memory of who we are. Compassion is the key to where we're going. So in their traditions, the Essenes said there would be a generation birthed who would live in this time and would be carried to the edge of who they believe they are. They would be asked to reach inside themselves and bring forth the greatest possibilities of what it means to be human. And they were so clear, they actually had a name for the people who would live in this time. They called you, you who walk between the worlds. You who walk between the worlds of all that's ever been and that which is yet to be. Between the world of spirit and matter. Between the world of light and dark. Between the time of time and no time. And I believe this is the generation, the last generation to mature. First generation to give birth to something new and precious and wonderful. Well, the ancients left us the key to compassion as a series of codes, C-O-D-E-S. I'm using that term intentionally. Codes of logic and emotion. These aren't codes of mathematics. They're not about numbers and variables. They're about logic and emotion that direct our body's ability to become the greatest potential of what it means to be human. Ancient traditions have known the science of compassion for a long time. The Egyptian master Thoth, 3,500-year-old texts. In those texts, Thoth talks to us about a technology. And I'd like to share these words with you. Listen closely to the words and bear in mind now, these are from a 3,500-year-old text. It's entitled The Emerald Tablets. When into thee there comes a feeling that draws thee nearer to the dark gate. In these traditions, darkness is considered to be the challenge of our lives. So we could say when we're drawn to the great challenges of life. So when into thee there comes a feeling drawing thee nearer to the dark gate, examine thine heart to know if the feeling has come from within. Okay, first of all. Now, this is where the technology comes through. Listen to what Thoth says. Send through the body a wave of vibration, irregular at first and regular at second, repeating time after time until free. Start the wave force in thy brain center, direct in waves from thine head to thy foot. Wow. A 3,500-year-old text. In the only words of his time, he's inviting us to allow for the possibility that there's a technology within us that allows us to reconcile the challenges. I believe this is the beginning of the science of compassion. Send through the body a wave of vibration. Start the wave force in thy brain center. It begins as a thought, and the thought is regulating the emotion and creating the feeling to allow this to be so. Well, maybe this is a good time to define compassion. Exactly what does compassion mean? Even people who teach compassion are not in total agreement of what it means. And it means something very different today from what it meant even 500 years ago. It's a quality of thought, feeling, and emotion. Thought without attachment to the outcome of the thought. Well, does that sound like a Buddhist tradition? Very Buddhist in nature. Feeling without the distortion of the feeling. Do we really know what our feelings are saying to us? Are we conditioned to have certain feelings in response to the challenges of our world? When we witness through our mass media a disaster of a plane crash or of a weather phenomenon, are we conditioned to have a feeling, or do we really know what the truth, the nakedness of our feeling is like without the feelings of those around us? Emotion without charge. Is it possible for us to have the emotion of love without judgment? Is it possible for us to love and to love all that we witness without judging what we witness as right or wrong or good or bad? Certainly discern what serves us and what doesn't. Is it possible to have emotion without charge? So compassion may be defined as thought without attachment to the outcome, feeling without distortion, emotion without charge. What in the world does that mean? How would you use that in your life? What I'd like to do is share with you a couple of examples based on this definition, and from this, go into the actual codes, the equations of compassion that were left for us in these texts. Those who have come before us, offered us the logic to allow compassion to become our experience of life, if we have the wisdom to recognize that.